Daniel chapter 9 is where we'll be. Daniel chapter 9. Again, thank the good Lord, our great God, for His comfort over these past few days. And thank Him for His grace. I truly do. And as I mentioned yesterday, Brother James is homegoing, that he had a great testimony for the Lord. And we truly saw that, folks, even Friday night. You would not believe, if you weren't able to make it for whatever reason, it was just unbelievable. I don't know that I've been to a visitation of that nature where people started from 5 to 8 and people were there at 4:20, 4:30. The line would, by 5 o'clock, would be backed out of the door, and basically was backed out of the door all the way up to 8 p.m. And people did not get through, probably finishing up until after 9 sometime. And it was just amazing to see the impact that our dear brother had made. And I told the folks during the service that, look, we have a responsibility to continue that impact. That same zeal, that same excitement and love for the Lord and the Bible, we will continue. Amen? In fact, while I say that, since I did have a good response on those amens, hey, listen, Brother James was my amen corner. Some of y'all going to have to step up, all right? And I'm going to need that. That was like fuel to the fire as I'm preaching God's Word, and Brother James would give out that hearty, amen! I just wanted to keep on going on that one. But it was such an encouragement. But with all seriousness, we do want to keep that spirit, folks. We do not want to lose that. And we want God to increase that and trust that we will do just that. And praise God for it. We'll say some more things about that here in a little bit. But again, thank you for being here this morning. I realize the spiritual battles in my own life and in your life. And sometimes, boy, Sunday mornings are some of the toughest battles. I found that in my life, and I'm sure you found that in yours. That is sometimes when it's easiest to get aggravated for whatever reason, and things come up that you weren't expecting, and whatever the case may be, it just seems like the devil really tries to hunt in on Saturday night, Sunday morning, trying to discourage us as we get prepared to worship. But folks, God is greater than that. And we're going to ask Him to still our hearts and arrest our hearts for a moment this morning as we look to His Word and ask Him to change us. Let's look there in Daniel chapter 9, would you please? And you'll remember that we talked about this chapter last week and began studying. We're going to study Daniel's prayer. But we saw his context and his comprehension of the Word of God, of Jeremiah's prophecy, that captivity was soon to end. And boy, you talking about the excitement in Daniel's heart, that you know what it provoked him? It provoked him to prayer. By the way, a study of God's Word will always provoke you to your knees. It will push you to your knees. It will bring you to your knees for several reasons. For when you get under conviction, and we'll talk about that, you want to confess. But also as you read the Word of God and you're encouraged by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, you just want to give adoration. Say, Lord, thank You for that, Your Word today and what You showed me and how You encouraged me, a promise You gave me. And God, I just want to praise You. And that is prayer. And that's what we're going to see here. And Daniel's prayer, and I want to just really get into the beginning parts of this prayer. And so that brings us there to verse number 3, after he has comprehended that through Jeremiah's writings and prophecy that the 70 years is coming to a close. And listen to verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And then verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, who spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, I come before You now with just thanksgiving, thanking You for being the great God You are. I thank You, mighty King, for Your saving grace that You displayed upon Calvary's cross. I thank You for the triumphant victory over the grave. I thank You, Almighty God, for the precious Holy Spirit and His ministry in our hearts and in this church. I thank You for the Bible this morning, the truth of it, how it's living. And Lord, I pray that You would use it this morning to fulfill Your precious holy will in our lives. And God, that You would get the glory. And we look to You, O God, and You alone. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We see here the prayer of Daniel. I mentioned to the church last week that this was one of the greatest prayers written in the Bible. We find two others very similar in Ezra 9 and Nehemiah 9, and similar in fashion to where it begins with confession. And that's what the theme of this morning's message is on, confession. Confession. Look to the Word of God and to see what Daniel is beginning to do here. You know, the context of, again, is they're in captivity. And they've been there nearly 70 years under the Babylonians, and they're ready to be freed. The Medes and Persians have come in, and Darius, there's going to be a decree to let them go, and that's coming closer and closer. But I'm telling you here, we see that context is that they're in captivity, and Daniel begins to talk about why they're in that captivity. And basically what we can sum it up with, if we just want to get real simplistic, and please excuse my simplicity, but what we see here, Daniel talking about a mess. A mess that has been caused by the children of Israel in their rebellion to the Lord. And that is the title of this morning's message, We Are in a Mess. That was Daniel's plea here in the beginning part of the prayer. He's going to recognize some things before he gets into the specific confessions, but he's recognizing that, boy, we're in a mess. You ever feel like you're in a mess? Boy, I know I do. Times we can mess things up easily, and boy, what we're going to do, and boy, they're just things that come into life that we as humans can easily make a mess of. Speaking of just messes, you know, boy, you start understanding messes a lot easier when you have and you live with a 5, 3, and 1-year-old. I cannot believe how quickly we can find a mess in our house. As quickly as Joanna can pick things up and stow it away and make it look all neat, it seems like little Tara Caroline is coming right behind to pull it back down. I think she's learned from her sister. In fact, when we were in Africa, we had a nickname for Marianne. She got into everything possible, folks. My name for her, and it fit. It was very fitting, I promise you. We did not pick on her. We made it joyful. You know, you could pick on somebody with joy, okay? But it was Marianne the mess maker. She would make a mess. Anywhere she would go, boy, she would make a point to let you know that she had been there. In fact, one thing that she liked to do, and I tell you what, this is something that used to drive me crazy, but finally I just gave in and did something, and I said, well, I'm just going to get over this. But she had a bad habit of finding the nearest Kleenex box. the nearest Kleenex box, and what she would do is she would go and find that Kleenex box and take a tissue, and she wouldn't just take one. She wouldn't just take two. She would take every one until that box was empty. And when I would come into the room, there would be just be a Kleenexes spread all over the floor. And finally, what I decided to do, folks, I decided that I needed to do something. Listen, it came upon her birthday. And I said, what can we do for Marianne? Here she is, a year old. Here she is, just going through that phase of life where she wants to make a mess. And I said, what can I do for her? She doesn't really understand, you know, we're getting her toys or whatnot. What can I do something that's meaningful for little Marianne? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I bought her a box of Kleenexes. And you want to talk about a happy little girl? She sat there, and boy, we opened up that Kleenex box, and man, I just pulled it. I was getting into it. I said, honey, just let me go ahead and help you out first. And pulled that first one out, and boy, she pulled out that one, then two, and she just got quicker. And she was pulling those things out until she had it. And it was funny because she was looking, she was doing it. She was kind of looking at me like, you're letting me do this, you know? She was a mess maker, but you know, just as children can make messes of things in the house and physically, you know, adults can make messes too. We really can, when in life, as things come our way, decisions we make and some of the ways we act, you know, a lot of times we can make a mess. And the children of Israel had made a mess, folks. They had made a mess so bad that God said, you know what, I'm going to bring judgment and I'm going to take you out of your homeland and I'm going to bring you into captivity for 70 years. But you know what? I'm going to bring you back. He's going to bring restoration. And it's coming to that point where God is going to bring back that restoration. And I want to tell you this morning, even the messes that we can cause in our own lives and the things that come in our lives, I'm telling you, it's not a mess too big for God to clean up. And Daniel realized that. I want us to see, number one here, we're in a mess, but I want us to see and look to the grace of God when we're in a mess. Look in your Bible. That's what Daniel did. Look at verse 3. He says here, in verse 4, excuse me. He says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. That's very significant, folks. Very significant. Why do you say it's more significant than any other place? Well, it just so happens that this name here for Lord is Jehovah, also Yahweh, which is a very personal name for God, used in special situations and referring to how He is faithful in His covenant and keeping His covenant, a very personal name. And it's, in fact, it's in all the book of Daniel, it's only used in this chapter. And this prayer. And it's used seven times. The Yahweh, the Lord God, Jehovah. And it's, we see here, it speaks of God's grace. You know, I like what Leon Wood said about this name, the Lord God. It talks about, it says the name, he says the name depicts God as the gracious, covenant-keeping God of Israel, who is willing to reveal to man and hear man when he prays. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that our God is a personal God? Daniel just didn't say, pray to his God or their God. What did Daniel say in the verse? He said, my God. It was very personal to Daniel, calling out to God. And can I say this very reverently? And I mean every word of it. God is personally interested in your mess, in my mess. He's personally interested, and just like He was in the mess of the children of Israel, not just because they rebelled, God didn't leave the scene. There were some consequences, but God was interested in helping clean up their mess. And that's what Daniel realized. He says here, the Lord, my God. Hey, listen, I know we're all facing some things in our lives. We face things in our society, and even if you want to take it from a political standpoint, and even in our nation, and boy, we can get overwhelmed in things. Boy, we think about, boy, we're in a mess. But it's not a mess that God cannot help us with. And I'm thankful for that. We see the grace of God that He looks to. The name Jehovah. It depicts grace. God's marvelous grace. And then secondly, not only do we see the grace of God, but I want us to see, secondly, the greatness of God. Look at verse 4. He says here, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Again, that personal aspect. And he says here, I made my confession and said, O Lord, now listen to this description, the great and dreadful God. I want to talk about those two adjectives there, great and dreadful. It's speaking of the greatness of Almighty God. That word great there in the Hebrew carries the idea of being important. It carries the idea of being a priority. You think about that. He's saying, Almighty God, now get this, Lord, who has first place in my life. The Lord God who has priority. That's what great means here. And you know what? It goes right along with the first commandment, doesn't it? The first of the Ten Commandments. It's very obvious that what God says there. He says what? There shall be no other gods before me. You are to worship to me and me alone. And boy, that's what that word carries. That, listen, God, you are a priority. You know, being in the military, you understand quickly about priority. You understand quickly about ranking and who has priority according to ranking. And I want to tell you, you go into boot camp and you come out of boot camp, you don't have very much of a priority, okay? Others will have priority over you, but the one that I realized quickly upon getting to my station, I was on a 270-foot cutter. That was about 70 men. Had a captain on the ship. He was probably about an 04, 05, and he was the headmaster. He was the go-to man, and he had the most respect on the boat, and he had the greatest priority in that ranking. And anything that took place, hey, he made the decision. Anything he wanted to do, boy, that's what would happen. He would make the decision, and people realized that. That he had the priority because of his ranking. And listen, God, not only does He deserve, but He has the right to having first place of our life. He deserves to have the first place, folks. And if He doesn't have first place, you're basically saying He has no place. Because God wants the first place in our life. He doesn't want to let things get in that way. He doesn't want to let hobbies, He don't want to let sports, He don't want to let anything, okay, get in the place of Himself. Even family, that can often get in the place of Almighty God. Children can get into the place of God, and you go down the line. But folks, it's clear, the Word of God says, He, the Lord, Jehovah, wants first place in our lives. He's great. He's important, the most important in our lives. But not only does He describe Him as being great, but He describes Him as being dreadful. Well, what does this word mean? It simply means this, dear folks. It means that He is to be revered. Reverenced. He is to be respected. Oh my, what a great characteristic for the born-again child of God to have great reverence for the Lord. Man, what a characteristic that God expects us to have, a fear of Him. And it's not that fear that we go around cowering, afraid that God's gonna bring judgment upon us at any moment. That's not the idea of fear. It is being aware that, yes, God's not gonna play games with us. Of course that has a part of it. But fearing is just having a reverence and respect that the Lord God, the Creator, has in our life. Going back to that captain on the ship, it just has been embedded into my mind and heart this always. I don't know if I'll ever use it again except for illustrations like this, but boy, when we'd be on the bridge and I was a non-rate, it didn't matter if you were a non-rate or if you were an officer, you had to participate in this because, again, the captain, he had priority, he had first place. He was, when he came on, he was on the port. So there were certain times that the captain would come up to the bridge. All right? So here's the key. When the captain were to come on the bridge, somebody, whoever it was that first saw him, was to yell immediately, "Captain on deck." Why was that? It's because he was to be respected. His presence was to be made known. And you know, when somebody said that, "Captain on deck," it was required that the rest of the five or six that were on the bridge, running the helm, the quartermasters, guys that were on lookout, whoever it was, were to follow that with an echo of all at the same time, "Captain on deck." Everybody knew. And if you were standing in place, you gave a salute. If you were driving on the helm, you would just simply repeat. But it would do something like this. The captain would come up, and when he would show his presence, everybody, "Captain on deck!" And we would salute, and he would say, "At ease." You know, we need some of that with the Lord our God. The Lord God on deck. He's in control of this thing. He needs to have first place in our life. He needs to be reverenced and respected. Oh, may we have that. And that's what Daniel said, "Dreadful God, the one who's to be revered and the one who's to be respected." You know, y'all mind if I get off on a little small rabbit trail just for a second? Parents, we need to double up our efforts of teaching our children how to respect. How to respect elders and respect authority. It would do them good to do that. And young people that are under the sound of my voice, ask God to help you to grow in this matter of respect. Just let me give you some examples of you showing your respect. Boy, what happened to the days, and I see it around here and I'm thankful about it, but I don't see it many other places. But what happened to the days that elderly folks or those that are older adults are always greeted by the younger? "How are you, Miss So-and-so? Good morning, Mr. So-and-so." Looking them in the eye. Now it's just a matter of us breezing right by them as if those people did not exist. Whatever happened to, young people sitting in a seat or whatnot, and an older person walks in, especially those that are elder, and whatever happened to the kids hopping up as soon as possible saying, "Please take my seat." You know what that is? That's called respect. That's called, you know, whatever happened to just opening up the door and going out of your way to carry something for somebody or an adult, or just giving that reverence and respect in that way? Oh, I'm praying that there would be a revival in our young people. Something I want to teach my children. Respect those in authority. Respect those that serve our country. Respect the police. When you see them, tell them, "Thank you for serving our community." When you see the firefighters and the EMTs, and when you talk to doctors and nurses, thank them. Show them respect. Our military, when you see them, especially in uniform, go up and shake their hand and say, "Dear ma'am or dear sir, I want to thank you for serving our country." What does that show, folks? It shows respect. May God help us to be revived in this thing of respect, but most importantly, to the Lord our God. Now listen, I'm moving on. That was freed, okay? Y'all let me do that. Respect the greatness of God. Can I ask you something this morning? How great is your God? What place does your God have in your life? He deserves first place. We see the grace of God. We see the greatness of God. But then thirdly, I want us to see the faithfulness of God. Look in verse 4 again. He goes on to talk about the greatness of God, but look in our verse. After he says, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God," listen to what he says, "keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments." Folks, we see here in the second part of this verse the faithfulness of Almighty God. Aren't you glad that we serve a faithful God? He never slacks on His watch. He's always in tune. He's always aware of everything going on at the same time. That's just who He is. He's God. He can do that. He's faithful. I see two parts of His faithfulness here in this verse. First of all, I see the characteristic part of His faithfulness. Look there with me, because it says that He speaks of two words here, covenant and mercy. Now, what does the covenant mean? It means simply this: promises that God has made, He will keep. Simply put, you can take any verse of Scripture that God gives a promise to His people in this book, and you can guarantee without any doubt that God will keep it. He's a God of His Word. He lies not, the Word of God says. He will hold to His Word because He is a covenant-keeping God. And boy, Daniel realized that. Lord, I'm coming to You now because I know You will answer this prayer. Because you major in fulfilling Your promises. We see this covenant here. But look how amazing this is. He couples covenant with this. He couples it with mercy. This word mercy here, there in verse 4, you see there, it says keeping the covenant and mercy. You know what this word mercy says here? Steadfast love. Folks, you got to get a hold of this. This is our God. People that try to depict Him as some mean man upstairs waiting to crack somebody over the head with a cane, listen, that removes this. He is a faithful and just and holy God. But I want to tell you, He is full of mercy. He is an all-loving God, and that's what Daniel realized. He said, Lord, I'm coming to You because I know You are just. I know You will keep Your Word. And Lord, I'm coming to You in prayer now based upon Your mercy, based upon Your love. I know You love me, God. I know You love the people that are in captivity now. I know we've made a mess, but I know You still love us. And look what he goes on to say. In fact, listen to, you know, Daniel read Jeremiah's prophecy. Look with me, hold your place in Daniel and just go back a couple books to Jeremiah. Get there before Ezekiel. Just flip back, you'll see Ezekiel, and then just go straight back to Jeremiah chapter 31. I love this. I love this. Chapter 31, verse 3. Listen to the Word of God says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Folks, there is no doubt that God loves us. And He will hold us accountable. And there will be consequences for decisions. And yes, when we make a mess, there are consequences. But God is always there, ready to bring healing, ready to bring a cleansing, and ready to restore like He's going to do with the children of Israel. How wonderful is that? The love of God coupled with His promise. And you know what that tells me? And we all fall short of keeping. Listen, we all fall short. There's not a person in this room under the sound of my voice that does not fall short daily in keeping complete just before God. And being complete right before God. There's always going to be a mess up every day of our lives. Every day. And you know what God says? Listen, I'm going to hold you accountable for your decisions, but I always want you to know My mercy will be there. My mercy will be coupled with My covenant. And I will hold people accountable, but I want you to know My steadfast love is unmovable. It is there upon you. And how thankful I am for that. Oh, praise be to God for what He does. But then we see this characteristic, but then we notice the condition, which I've mentioned. He says that, look, I know that You are faithful with Your covenant, and I know that You are merciful. And look what it says. Not only we see a characteristic, but we see the condition. the condition upon which God displays this most brightly and most apparently. Look there in your Bible. It says, keeping the covenant mercy, to get this, to them. What about them? Who is them? Them that love Him. And secondly, and to them, who's them? Them that keep His commandments. Do you get that? Upon the faithfulness of God, you know what the Lord is saying? Listen, I want you to know I will keep my promise, and I want you to know I'm merciful. I will forgive you. I'll restore you. I'll cleanse you. But I want you to know I expect obedience. The Lord expects obedience. He expects us to put forth our part in stepping forward and obeying Him and to love Him with all of our hearts. And folks, if there's anything that we need to constantly be growing in, it is the very fact that we need to continue growing more and more in love with the Lord God. And that's what He's saying here. Listen, you want to see God's faithfulness grow brighter in your life? Fall more in love with Him. Fall more in love with Him. That's what Daniel noticed from the Word of God. He says, I know you're going to be this way, especially to those that, Lord, love You, who just make it a point to make much of You daily. And I said that about Brother Jamie yesterday and the day before. He just had a point of showing his love for Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that testimony. And we too can have that, just showing our love to the Lord. I'll never forget an illustration. It made a huge impact on my life as a missionary. I was in a church similar to this one, and a missionary speaker, he was a seasoned pastor. I think he'd retired from the pastorate after 30, 35 years, maybe even 40. And he would preach in churches like this one, in missions conferences. And he just got on the subject of the love of God. And he said something, folks, I will never forget. He said, God taught him something very, very life-changing about the love of God through his wife. He said that one day, just normal days, the way they would talk to each other, but it was one of those things where I couldn't remember if he saw her first thing in the morning, or maybe it was in the evening, or maybe he was leaving to go somewhere, but he made a comment to his wife, and it was her response that got him. He said this. His name was John Halsey. He said this to his wife. He said, honey, I love you. And her response changed him and his perspective on God's love. Her response was this, I know you do. I know you do. And he said that changed. He said, and that has been his desire from that point, how God showed him when he prays to the Lord God. That is what he wants the Holy Spirit to whisper back to him. As he says, the Lord God, I love you. He's looking for the Holy Spirit to whisper in his heart, I know you do. Is that what you hear? Or do you hear, well, are you sure about that? What are these things that you've got before me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Daniel said, Lord, I know You'll be faithful and Your brightness will be more apparent than ever as we love You as we ought, as we keep Your commandments. Oh, the faithfulness of God. Even when we fall short, praise God, His mercy is there. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. In closing this morning, in this prayer of confession, which basically goes through verses 4 through 15, I want you to see here very quickly the sinfulness of man. So we see the grace of God, we see the greatness of God, we see the faithfulness of God, and then we see the sinfulness of man. This is where the mess comes in place. We're in a mess. Can I tell you the first thing you need to do with your mess? And what the first thing I need to do with my mess? You need to confess your mess. That's what Daniel's going to do, boy. One after another, folks. I don't have time to preach on each point, but let me run them through to you. Look what he says here, first of all, in verse number 5. What are those three words, church? We have sinned. We have sinned. That's what Daniel said. Notice Daniel didn't say, they have sinned. He has sinned. She has sinned. No, Daniel piped up and said, oh God, we, me included, have sinned. And boy, that's one quick way to get the cleansing of God and get the blessings of God on your life is stop pointing out all your problems on someone else. And take some responsibility and say, look, this mess that I'm involved in, there's a good chance I got something to do with it. I may not have everything to do with it. I may just have a part, but you at least need to admit your part. And we see that's what Daniel does. He was humble. He says, our problem. By the way, something Pastor Camp taught me a long time ago. He said, in marriage, he taught me this. He said, never look at a problem in your marriage as a problem of your spouse. He said, look at it as our problem. Because when God brings two together, they become one flesh. And it's no longer her problem or his problem. No, dear God, it's our problem. And we need you to help us. And listen, you may not be at fault in some area, but listen, you can be a part of the solution. Because a lot of times it becomes your problem too, for sure, because you don't respond to a problem rightly. And then it's a vicious cycle. And it does become a coupled problem. But we see here, Daniel said, we have sinned. Do you know Daniel groups himself with the people of Israel no less than 32 times throughout this passage? He just couples himself with the fact that, look, we need help. We have sinned. Look what else he says going on down. I'm just going to read through these. I'm not going to preach on these. Look at verse 5. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. And then he says, we have done wickedly. And then he says, look, and have rebelled. And then what he says, we have departed. We've departed, he says, from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And get this, then he says, we've not hearkened. In other words, the prophets that have come forth and say, listen, y'all need to change your course. God told you He'd keep His covenant, but you're doing this and you need to change it. But what He was saying, they didn't hearken. They closed their ears and kept on. And then He says this, neither have hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. And then look at verse 13. Verse 13, I'm going to move through these quickly. It says here, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and get this and understand the truth. You know what Daniel's saying right there? Even through all the dealings of God, there was never any turning of prayer. Saying, God, it's time to confess. We're in a mess and we need to confess. Hey, listen. Can I say it like this? I heard somebody say this, and I mean this reverently, but listen, God is looking to bless your mess. And this is the way He'll bless our mess, when we confess our mess. And how does He bless our mess? You know what He does? He cleans it up. He comes alongside us and helps us clean up our mess. You know, I got two little ones. I told you about those messy kids. Boy, in their rooms, I cannot believe it, boy. Are your kids anything like mine? They just can't pick out one toy and have a great time with it. It's going and picking out all 500 that they've ever been given since birth. And it all finds itself on the floor. And they get so overwhelmed, don't they? They really do. No, I can't get all this. You know, we get ourselves in pickles, and I ain't lying. I felt that way. Have you? Oh, there's no hope here. I've made a mess, God. But you know, God has taught me something. I can come alongside and they can be so overwhelmed. Little Thomas, I know he's only 3, but boy, he just gets overwhelmed. Is Mary Ann going to help? Yes, Thomas, she's going to help too. And then what I do is, and then either Joanna or myself, we'll go in and we'll say, listen, we'll help you. And we'll start picking things up and they'll start seeing things move and boy, they get excited and boy, then they get into it. And before you know it, boy, they're all at it and we could just stand back and watch them. Listen, God's looking to do the same thing for us. But He wants you to take the first step, friend, to say, you know what? I know I got a mess and I need to start making some progress. And God will bless that mess by helping you clean it up and getting you to where you need to be and getting you orderly. Not that you're going to be perfect, but He'll clean the mess up. But you've got to be willing to do it His way. He's a covenant-keeping God, and He's given us clear instruction. Let me give you these three things. How to confess your mess. And we're going to close. Three things. Number one, I believe we've got to be honest. Wasn't Daniel honest? I believe he gave enough characteristics in this passage to make it crystal clear that, Lord, we've made a mess. And we need your help. We're going to ask God that you forgive us. And Lord, we want to get back to the homeland. We want to get back in fellowship with you. We've been in a strange land long enough. We've been in captivity long enough. And God, we want to get back to where we started. And that's what he's going to pray. But he's honest. But then secondly, he's humble. You got to be honest, but secondly, you got to be humble. You know what it's going to take for you, dear friend? For you, for God to get inside your life and clean up your messes, it's going to take for you to be humble and realize you got one that needs to be helped, that needs to be cleaned up. You're going to have to humble yourself. Whether it's coming and finding a place at this altar or in your pew or getting home and getting your family together and saying, dear God, we got to make some decisions. We've made a mess and we're going to look to God to clean it up and to help us to get us to where we need to be. That's going to take some honesty, but it's going to take some humility. And men, I will exhort you, take the lead. Take the lead as the spiritual leader in saying, look, we have got to depend on God to get us where we need to be. But then thirdly, you need to be helpful. Look what Daniel's doing. You know, you see what Daniel's doing? He's alone right here. But you, look what he's doing, folks. We've sinned, but look what he's doing. He's praying to the Lord. He feels the urgency. And you know what Daniel's going to put forth? He's going to put forth the help necessary and he's going to make intercession for all of them. You know, he's talking, he's praying on the behalf of the children of Israel. He's being helpful. He's contributing to the mess, to the problem. He's trying to help get the mess cleaned up. And he's ready to go back and he's praying and he's being helpful. And oh, praise God for that. And so I encourage you this morning and I exhort myself this morning. Hey, let's be honest with our mess. Let's be humble about our mess. And let's be helpful. Putting forth the effort that God wants us to have to do our part. In April of 2010, one of the greatest disasters ever happened in U.S. history, that is. Deepwater Horizon. An explosion on an oil rig out in the Gulf. A mess you cannot even fathom. Mess, 138 million gallons of crude oil being poured into the Gulf. And our minds can't even get wrapped around that. And because of this explosion, this Deepwater Horizon was out drilling for BP. And because of that, 11 people died and 17 others injured. And you talk about a mess. It cost $17.2 billion of financial loss. Boy, one of the greatest messes. And maybe I'm talking to somebody and you feel like there's a mess like that in your life to that degree. Perhaps you know somebody. Can I tell you something? I don't care how great the mess is. Hey, listen, mankind has taken over 7 years now to get it cleaned up. And as far as we know, it's pretty much cleaned up. Can I tell you, it doesn't take but 1 second for God to get things cleaned up. Doesn't take long to God to step in. Not that there won't be some consequences, but for God to step in and start giving cleansing and start giving power and start giving victory. Hey, that's the great God that Daniel knew of. That's the great God that we serve today, and He can do it for you too, dear friend. Do you trust Him with your mess? Oh, listen. God will bless your mess. But you must first confess your mess and let God clean it up. He'll help you and get you to the place you need to be. Listen, one of the greatest messes of all human race is the sin mess. And the only way that sin will get cleansed up in your life is for you to simply be honest. Lord, I'm a sinner. Be humble. Lord, I know you're the only way. I'm going to come to you. No other way. And then thirdly, you just say, Lord, would you save me? God will clean your heart up for all eternity. You'll have a place in heaven. Listen, that's the first and greatest mess. If you're here this morning and you've never had your mess cleaned up of sin, you've never been cleansed of all your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, today is your day to say, Lord, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be humble, and I want to come your way and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. That will be yours today. You just got to ask for it. You got to confess it. And then I'm talking to some people out here. Perhaps you're in a mess you don't think you'll ever get out of. Can I tell you? Look to the God of Daniel. look to the God of the Bible who took a mess of the people of Israel and will free them and bring them back because He is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. That's my God. That's the God of the Bible. And I encourage you today to make a decision for the Lord God. Let's pray.